Welcome to this deep dive.
Really great to be here.
In this lesson, we're exploring digital personal branding, networking, and professional visibility.
Which is honestly such a massive topic for anyone right now.
If you've watched the overview, this will build on that. If not, you'll still be able to follow along.
Yeah, you definitely won't be lost. We're going to break it all down.
Now, let's go further by exploring practical examples, future workplace relevance, responsible use, and how you can build confidence with this skill.
And I think to really grasp why this skill is so critical, we have to look at how much the whole professional landscape has changed.
Exactly. I mean, imagine this scenario for a second. You walk into a job interview, right?
Okay, setting the scene.
You sit down, you're wearing your best outfit, and the hiring manager slides a printed piece of paper across the desk.
Oh, no.
And it's a screenshot of, like, a really snarky comment you left on a random industry blog 3 years ago.
That is genuinely terrifying.
Right. But that's the reality. Today, your digital footprint is walking into that interview room long before you do.
It really is. We've completely transitioned away from, you know, the era where professional visibility meant putting on an uncomfortable suit and just handing out physical resumes at a career fair.
Yeah, the old grip and grin strategy.
Yeah, exactly. The mechanism of career growth has fundamentally shifted. We are dealing with these dynamic, constantly updating digital ecosystems now.
So let's talk about the actual stakes of that shift.
Sure.
Because the materials we're looking at describe a strong digital presence as this engine for opportunity.
A massive engine, yeah.
It actively generates internships, it fuels collaboration, and builds credibility. But I have to push back here a little bit.
Go for it.
Because there is a tension that a lot of people feel. Like, isn't personal branding just a buzzword for influencers?
Oh, I hear that all the time.
Right. If I am an introverted software engineer or, I don't know, a data analyst, why do I need a brand? I write code. I don't sell lifestyle supplements on social media.
That is totally fair.
Doesn't this whole concept basically force introverted, focused professionals to play an extrovert's game?
I'm so glad you brought that up because it's probably the number one hesitation people have. And it comes from conflating personal branding with influencer marketing.
Which are totally different things.
Entirely different. An influencer uses their personality as the product, but a professional uses personal branding to establish a reputation for their actual skills.
I like to think of it like an analogy, right?
Yeah.
It's not about being a giant billboard for yourself on the side of a highway.
That's a great way to look at it.
It's more like curating a digital museum exhibit of your skills, your values, and your professionalism.
Yes. If you're that software engineer, your museum exhibit isn't what you ate for breakfast. It's your GitHub repository.
Right. It's your actual work.
Exactly. It's your thoughtful answers on Stack Overflow or the technical insights you share on professional networks. It establishes a digital track record of competence.
So it's an asynchronous networking agent. It's a digital version of you that can attend 10,000 career fairs at the exact same time.
24 hours a day while you sleep. But, and this is the catch, it only works if you actually curate that exhibit with the right artifacts.
Well, and if we flip that, an empty exhibit is a massive liability.
Oh, absolutely.
Because if a hiring manager searches for you and finds this empty void, or worse, a chaotic mix of inappropriate public comments, it breaks professional trust before you even get a meeting.
Employers really view your digital footprint as a proxy for your judgment.
Wait, really? Just a proxy for judgment.
Think about it. If you are applying for a modern, digitally focused role and you are entirely invisible online, they have to wonder if you even understand the norms of the modern workspace.
So a poor presence isn't just a missed opportunity.
No, it is an active deterrent. It signals a lack of professional awareness.
Wow. Okay. Knowing that an empty digital footprint is such a liability brings us to the mechanics of actually fixing it.
Right, the tool belt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We know everyone listening already has access to platforms like LinkedIn, Canva, About.me. So we don't need to define what those are.
No, most people know them.
But let's talk about why 90% of people are using them totally wrong. People tend to treat these platforms as static resume repositories,
which completely defeats their entire purpose.
So let's look at the three core pillars from the material: personal branding, networking, and professional visibility. How do these tools actually execute those pillars?
Well, if we go back to your analogy,
a museum exhibit.
Actually, let's think of it like a physical storefront.
Oh, I like that. So if it's a storefront, Canva is basically the tool you use to design the attractive window display.
Exactly. It establishes aesthetic credibility. It's where you make the polished presentation materials, the infographics, the clean portfolio.
And then About.me would be the welcoming front door.
Right. It serves as your central business card. It provides a single focused entry point to your wider professional universe.
Which means LinkedIn is the bustling networking mixer happening inside the building.
That is the perfect way to frame it. But the problem is, most people just walk into that mixer and stand silently in the corner of the room.
The passive existence strategy.
Yes. You see this all the time. People only start actively networking or posting when they desperately need a job.
Which is, what, the absolute worst time to start?
The worst. The psychology of networking relies on mutual value. If your very first interaction with someone is asking for a job, it is inherently transactional.
And usually pretty unsuccessful.
Usually, yeah. You really have to cultivate high-value interactions consistently over time.
Digging the well before you're thirsty, essentially.
Right, precise.
Let's look at the case study from the sources to see how this actually works in the real world.
Oh, the student on LinkedIn. This is a great example.
Yeah. The text highlights a student who intentionally improved their LinkedIn profile and started actively participating in professional communities. And that directly led to better job opportunities.
It really did.
So break down the why and how behind this success. What actually happened under the hood there?
Two critical mechanisms were at play. First, this student triggered the platform's algorithms.
Okay, how? Just by getting likes?
No, that's the misconception. Social and professional networks do not just measure likes anymore. They measure conversational depth and something called dwell time.
Dwell time, meaning how long someone actually looks at a post.
Exactly. How long users spend reading a piece of content. So by leaving a thoughtful paragraph-long insight on an industry trend, rather than just hitting the thumbs up button, this student signaled to the algorithm that they were a high-value creator.
Oh, wow. And so the algorithm rewarded them by pushing their profile in front of recruiters.
That's the first mechanism, but the second one is even more interesting because it goes beyond just gaming a computer system.
Right. The source material actually notes that this active participation simulates the future workplace.
Yes. Think about the trajectory of modern work. We are looking at distributed teams, asynchronous communication, heavy reliance on platforms like Slack or Teams.
Right. We're all just typing to each other half the day anyway.
Exactly. So when future employers see you communicating clearly, diplomatically, and insightfully in a public digital forum, you are giving them a live demonstration of your soft skills.
It's essentially a public audition.
It really is. You are proving you know how to operate in a modern, remote-friendly environment without creating friction.
Which gives you a tremendous amount of agency over your career. But, and there's always a but, because everything you do is a permanent searchable audition, the boundaries become incredibly important.
And crucial. The ethics of visibility demand that we talk about responsible online behavior.
Yeah, because responsibility is the bedrock of employability here. The tension usually pops up when people try to balance authenticity with professionalism.
Oh, it's a huge tightrope. Yeah. We are constantly told to bring our authentic selves to work.
But we're also expected to maintain strict professional boundaries. So where is the line?
That's a tough line to draw.
I mean, if someone is authentic, does that mean they share every single unfiltered thought? How do you maintain professional trust while still sounding like a real human being?
The deciding factor, and the material is clear on this, is the concept of adding constructive value.
Okay, adding constructive value. What does that look like in practice?
Well, authenticity in a professional context does not mean treating a network like a personal diary.
Right.
Authentic professional networking means sharing content that reflects your genuine interests, your struggles, and your expertise, but framing it in a way that contributes positively to the community.
Okay, let me give an example, see if I have this right. Let's say someone faces a massive failure on a project.
Happens to everyone.
Posting a furious, unfiltered rant about their incompetent teammates might be authentic to their emotional state in that moment.
Very authentic.
But it destroys professional trust.
Completely. It creates noise and, quite frankly, signals poor emotional regulation.
Right. But what if that same person posts about the failure, takes accountability, and shares, like, three technical lessons they learned about project management from the whole mess?
See, that is highly authentic, deeply vulnerable, and incredibly professional. It actually adds value to anyone reading it.
So responsibility really is about intention.
Yes, 100% intention.
Before posting, your filter should be, if a hiring manager reads this 5 years from now, will it demonstrate my problem-solving skills or will it make them question my diplomacy?
That is the exact filter you should use. And that intention directly connects to the practical growth advice outlined in the materials.
Yes, the practical application activity.
Right. The course challenges you to actively evaluate four specific areas: your professional profile, your networking strategy, your personal branding goals, and your online visibility practices.
And to really understand how to evaluate those four areas, we need to look at the foundational literature that was recommended in this lesson.
These books are fantastic. They basically provide the philosophical operating system for all the digital habits we're discussing.
Let's start with the first one. It's Reid Hoffman and Ben Kisnoch's book, The Startup of You.
Such a great book. It fundamentally shifts how you should view your personal branding goals.
Because the core argument is that you need to approach your career dynamically, just like a Silicon Valley startup.
Okay, so you are the CEO of your own trajectory. This means treating your skill set and, by extension, your digital profile as a product in perpetual beta.
Perpetual beta, meaning it is never actually finished.
Never. You should be constantly iterating, learning new skills, and updating your asynchronous networking agent so it reflects your current capabilities.
It totally kills the idea of the static resume. Yeah. You either adapt or you become obsolete.
That's the harsh reality of it.
Okay, the second recommendation is Dale Carnegie's 1936 classic, How to Win Friends and Influence People.
A total classic.
But I have to say, it seems kind of wild to apply a book written during the Great Depression to LinkedIn algorithms.
It sounds wild, sure. But the technology changed. Human psychology did not.
That's a great point.
Carnegie's principles are the ultimate guide to your networking strategy. His core philosophy is about shifting the focus away from yourself and showing genuine interest in others.
So in a digital context, what does that look like?
It means before you send a direct message asking someone for a referral, you should figure out how to be of service to that person first.
Like sharing an article relevant to a project they just posted about.
Exactly. Or commenting insightfully on their work. Empathy and mutual respect scale beautifully on digital platforms.
So you have to offer value before you extract value.
Always.
Okay, the final book is Cal Newport's Deep Work. How does a book that is famously about logging off and focusing deeply apply to maintaining online visibility? It seems contradictory.
It does seem that way, but it is actually the perfect antidote to the trap of superficial engagement.
Superficial engagement, like doom scrolling.
Yes. When people hear they need online visibility practices, they often fall into these dopamine loops. They mindlessly scroll like hundreds of posts and leave generic great job comments just to feel productive.
Oh, I've definitely done that.
They all have. But Deep Work argues for high quality, focused output. In the context of professional visibility, quality always trumps quantity.
So instead of spending an hour a day dropping low-effort comments across 50 different posts,
right,
you would spend, say, 2 hours a week writing one highly researched, deeply insightful article analyzing an industry trend.
Yes, because then you are curating an artifact for your digital museum that actually demonstrates your critical thinking.
That makes total sense.
Mm-hmm.
Deep Work creates the kind of visibility that actually commands respect rather than just adding to the algorithmic noise.
Exactly. It's about being intentional with your digital presence.
All right, taking the philosophies of continuous adaptation, genuine empathy, and deep focus, let's synthesize this into some rhetorical milestones for you to think about.
The knowledge check from the materials?
Yeah. This serves as a diagnostic for your current standing. So ask yourself these questions right now. First, do you know what your personal brand actually is?
Like, if a stranger looked at your online footprints today, what three professional traits would they assign to you?
Right. It requires taking an objective look at your own outputs.
Mm-hmm.
Are you projecting competence or are you just sort of existing?
Just taking up digital space.
Exactly. Second question, are you networking effectively? Meaning, are you building relationships based on mutual value before you find yourself in a desperate career transition?
Digging that well early.
Yep. And third, is your current digital presence actively helping or hurting your employability?
If someone audited your public comments and profiles today, what is the narrative they walk away with?
You have to take the pen and write that narrative yourself, or the internet will just write it for you.
And you probably won't like what it writes.
Definitely not. Which brings us to the core reflection prompt from our materials. I really want you to mull this over as you apply these concepts. How can responsible personal branding and networking improve your future opportunities?
And as you ponder that, remember that building digital confidence is a long-term strategy. The specific platforms we use today, they will inevitably change.
Oh, yeah. New algorithms will pop up next week.
Exactly. The most crucial skill isn't mastering one platform. It's remaining adaptable, embracing lifelong learning, and remembering that behind every digital interface is another human being looking for reliable collaboration.
That's a really grounding thought.
If you master the art of being a thoughtful, competent professional online, the technology will simply amplify your reputation.
But I want to leave you with one final, slightly provocative thought that builds on everything we've discussed today.
Ooh, all right. Let's hear it.
We've talked a lot about humans reading your profile, right?
Yeah, hiring managers, recruiters.
But consider this. The digital platforms we use are rapidly integrating AI. Very soon, a hiring manager won't manually scroll through your history.
Oh, wow. They'll just use AI to do it.
Exactly. They will press a button, and an AI will instantly summarize your entire lifetime digital footprint into a single paragraph.
That is fascinating and a little scary.
Right. In a world where an AI parses your digital agent before a human ever does, are you optimizing your online presence for genuine professional empathy? Or are you just feeding a machine?
That is a very fine line to walk.
It really is. And it's something you need to think about as you build your visibility moving forward.
Definitely.
So stay curious, be responsible with your digital footprint, and keep making choices that make you future ready. Please make sure you review the end of module study guide and complete those workbook activities we discussed.
And we also want to acknowledge the foundational works that informed the methodology of this lesson. We highly recommend exploring Reid Hoffman and Ben Kuznocha's The Startup of You, published in 2012.
Dale Carnegie's timeless How to Win Friends and Influence People from 1936.
And, of course, Cal Newport's Deep Work from 2016.
Thank you so much for joining us for this deep dive. Make your digital presence a space that works tirelessly for your future. Thanks for listening.